Heading, Helping Souls to be Converted. Subheading, The Experience of Genuine Conversion. I have been shown that many have confused ideas in regard to conversion. They have often heard the words repeated from the pulpit, "Ye must be born again. You must have a new heart." These expressions have perplexed them. They could not comprehend the plan of salvation. Many have stumbled to ruin because of the erroneous doctrines taught by some ministers concerning the change that takes place at conversion. Some have lived in sadness for years, waiting for some marked evidence that they were accepted by God. They have separated themselves in a large measure from the world and find pleasure in associating with the people of God, yet they dare not profess Christ because they fear it would be presumption to say that they are children of God. They are waiting for that peculiar change that they have been led to believe is connected with conversion. After a time, some of these do receive evidence of their acceptance with God and are then led to identify themselves with His people. And they date their conversion from this time. And I've been shown that they were adopted into the family of God before that time. God accepted them when they became weary of sin and, having lost their desire for worldly pleasures, resolved to seek God earnestly. But failing to understand the simplicity of the plan of salvation, they lost many privileges and blessings which they might have claimed had they only believed when they first turned to God that He had accepted them. Others fall into a more dangerous error. They are governed by impulse. Their sympathies are stirred, and they regard this flight of feeling as an evidence that they are accepted by God and are converted. But the principles of their life are not changed. The evidences of a genuine work of grace on the heart are to be found not in feeling, but in the life. By their fruits, Christ declared, "Ye shall know them." Many precious souls, desiring earnestly to be Christians, are yet stumbling in darkness, waiting for their feelings to be powerfully exercised. They look for a special change to take place in their feelings. They expect some irresistible force over which they have no control to overpower them. They overlook the fact that the believer in Christ is to work out a salvation with fear and trembling. The convicted sinner has something to do besides repent. He must act his part in order to be accepted by God. He must believe that God accepts his repentance according to his promise. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The work of grace upon the heart is not an instantaneous work. It is effected by continuous daily watching and believing the promises of God. The repentant, believing one, who cherishes faith and earnestly desires the renewing grace of Christ, God will not turn away empty. He will give him grace, and the ministering angels will aid him as he perseveres in his efforts to advance. Manuscript 55, 1910. Subheading, Conversions, Not All Alike. All are not constituted alike. Conversions are not all alike. Jesus impresses the heart, and the sinner is born again to new life. Often souls have been drawn to Christ when there was no violent conviction, no soul-rending, no remorseful terrors. They looked upon an uplifted Savior. They lived. They saw the soul's need. They saw the Savior's sufficiency and His claims. They heard His voice saying, "Follow me," and they rose up and followed Him. This conversion was genuine, and the religious life was just as decided as was that of others who suffered all the agony of a violent process. Letter 15A, 1890. Subheading, Conversions Not Precise and Methodical. Those men who calculate just how religious exercises should be conducted and are very precise and methodical in diffusing the light and grace that they seem to have simply do not have much of the Holy Spirit. Though we cannot see the Spirit of God, we know that men who have been dead in trespasses and sins become convicted and converted under its operations. The thoughtless and wayward become serious. The hardened repent of their sins, and the faithless believe. The gambler, the drunkard, the licentious become steady, sober, and pure. The rebellious and obstinate become meek and Christ-like. When we see these changes in the character, we may be assured that the converting power of God has transformed the entire man. We saw not the Holy Spirit, but we saw the evidence of his work on the changed character of those who were hardened and obdurate sinners. As the wind moves in its force upon the lofty trees and brings them down, so the Holy Spirit can work upon human hearts, and no finite man can circumscribe the work of God. The Spirit of God is manifested in different ways upon different men. One, under the movings of this power, will tremble before the Word of God. His convictions will be so deep that a hurricane and tumult of feelings seem to rage in his heart, and his whole being is prostrate under the convicting power of the truth. When the Lord speaks forgiveness to the repenting soul, he is full of ardor, full of love to God, full of earnestness and energy, and the life-giving spirit which he has received that cannot be repressed. Christ is in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. His feelings of love are as deep and ardent as was his distress of agony. His soul is like the fountain of the great deep, broken up, and he pours forth his thanksgiving and praise, his gratitude and joy, until the heavenly harps are tuned to notes of rejoicing. He has a story to tell, but not in any precise, common, methodical way. He is a soul ransomed through the merits of Jesus Christ, and his whole being is thrilled with the realization of the salvation of God. Others are brought up to Christ in a more gentle way. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You cannot see the operating agency, but you can see its effects. When Nicodemus said unto Jesus, How can these things be? Jesus said to him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? A teacher in Israel, a man among wise men, a man who supposed that he was able to comprehend the science of religion, and yet stumbling at the doctrine of conversion. He was not willing to admit truth, because he could not understand all that was connected with the operation of the power of God, and yet he accepted the facts of nature, although he could not explain or even comprehend them. Like all others of all ages, he was looking to forms and precise ceremonies as more essential to religion than the deep movements of the Spirit of God. Review and Herald, May 5, 1896. Subheading, Conversion Leads On to Obedience. The conversion of the human soul is of no little consequence. It is the greatest miracle performed by divine power. Actual results are to be reached through a belief in Christ as a personal Savior. Purified by obedience to the law of God, sanctified by a perfect obedience of his holy Sabbath, trusting, believing, patiently waiting, and earnestly working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, we shall learn that it is God that worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Manuscript 6, 1900. Subheading, Sanctification Only Through Practicing the Truth. Man must not only read the Word of God, supposing that a casual knowledge of this Word will bring about in him a reformation of character. This work, only the one who is the way, the truth, and the life can accomplish. Firmly may certain doctrines of truth be held. Again and again they may be reiterated, till the holders come to think that they are indeed in possession of the great blessings which these doctrines represent. But the greatest, most powerful truths may be held and yet kept in the outer court, exerting little influence to make the daily life wholesome and fragrant. The soul is not sanctified through the truth that is not practiced. Letter 16, 1892. Subheading, Doctrines or Church Membership Do Not Take Place of Conversion. All, high or low, if they are unconverted, are on one common platform. Men may turn from one doctrine to another. This is being done and will be done. Papists may change from Catholicism to Protestantism, yet they may know nothing of the meaning of the words, A new heart also will I give you. Accepting new theories and uniting with a church do not bring new life to anyone, even though the church with which he unites may be established on the true foundation. Connection with a church does not take the place of conversion. To subscribe the name to a church creed is not of the least value to anyone if the heart is not truly changed. We must have more than intellectual belief in the truth. Many of the Jews were convinced that Jesus was the Son of God, but they were too proud and ambitious to surrender. They decided to resist the truth, and they maintained their opposition. They did not receive into the heart the truth as it is in Jesus. When truth is held as truth only by the conscience, when the heart is not stimulated and made receptive, only the mind is affected. But when the truth is received as truth by the heart, it has passed through the conscience and has captivated the soul with its pure principles. It is placed in the heart by the Holy Spirit, who reveals its beauty to the mind, that its transforming power may be seen in the character. Review and Herald, February 14, 1899. Subheading, Conversion, the Result of United Effort. In the recovering of lost, perishing souls, it is not man that effects the work of saving souls. It is God who labors with him. God works and man works. Ye are laborers together with God. We must work in different ways and devise different methods and let God work in us to the revealing of truth and himself as the sin-pardoning Savior. Letter 20, 1893. Subheading, Helping the Sinner Across the Line. Be instant in season and out of season, warning the young, pleading with sinners, with the love for them that Christ has. When there comes from the lips of the sinner the cry, O, my sins, I fear that they are too grievous to be forgiven, encourage faith. Hold Jesus up higher and still higher, saying, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. When the cry is heard, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, point the trembling soul to a sin-pardoning Savior as a refuge. Manuscript 138, 1897. Subheading, Angels Rejoice. The conversion of souls to God is the greatest work, the highest work in which human beings can have a part. In the conversion of souls, God's forbearance, his unbounded love, his holiness, his power are revealed. Every true conversion glorifies him and causes the angels to break forth into singing, Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Letter 121, 1902.